Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 4 of week number 27, studying Matthew chapter 27. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free, 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's get back into our study of Matthew 27. At the end of our last broadcast, we were right at the very end of our outline of the chapter. We will finish that outline in just a few moments, and then we will begin our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of this text. Matthew 27, verses 62 through 66, the guard at the tomb of Jesus. Verse 62, on the following day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Verse 63, they remembered that Jesus taught that he would rise on the third day. Verse 64, they asked Pilate to secure the tomb of Jesus, to keep his disciples from coming to steal Jesus' body. If that happened, some might believe that Jesus really resurrected, and that would only make matters worse for these religious leaders. Verse 65, Pilate gave them permission. He provided a guard to secure the tomb. Verse 66, the religious leaders secured the tomb, sealed the stone, and they set a guard to prevent the disciples from stealing the body of Jesus. That's the end of our outline of Matthew 27. Let's start our more detailed study of the chapter. Matthew 27, verses 1 and 2. The trials of Jesus. Jesus delivered to Pontius Pilate. Matthew 27 opens with the words, "When the morning came." Without going into the exact chronology of all of the events from the Passover, Lord's Supper forward, consider these following details. In Matthew 26, after observing the Passover and instituting the forerunner of what we know to be the communion, or the Lord's Supper, Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. Matthew 26, verse 30. In that context, Jesus said this, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." That's Matthew 26, verses 31 and 32. Of particular interest for our present study, the timing of these events. Jesus told the disciples that they would stumble because of me this night. Emphasis on the words, this night. As Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the apostles fell asleep more than once, perhaps because of stress and tension, but also because it was night. Matthew 26, verse 40 and following. While Matthew tells us that Judas came with a multitude who bore swords and clubs, Matthew 26, verse 47, John expands on that to tell us that they carried lanterns, torches, and weapons, John 18, verse 3. They carried lanterns and torches because it was night. In the midst of his betrayal, Jesus asked the multitudes why they came to betray him at that time, at night, but failed to do so as he sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, Matthew 26, verse 55. Near the end of Matthew 26, Peter, after having fulfilled what Jesus predicted about his threefold denials, Peter heard the rooster crow, thus indicating that it was night, Matthew 26, verse 74 and 75. Mark's parallel account indicates that Peter sat in the courtyard of the high priest with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Mark 14, verse 65. See also Luke 22, 54 and 55, and John 18, verse 18 and following. This, too, indicates that it was night. Without going into all of the details, what Matthew records in Matthew 26 and Matthew 27 centers on Jesus' appearances before Pilate. According to John's account, however, Jesus was shuttled back and forth between Annas and Caiaphas, see John 18:24, and that it was not until early morning that they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, where Jesus appeared before Pilate, John 18, verse 28. Peter, stalwart in his insistence that he would never betray the Lord, told Jesus this, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble," chapter 26, verse 33 of Matthew. In his response, Jesus told Peter, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times," Matthew 26, verse 34. Again, note the words of Jesus, "I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows." When the text says, "when the morning came," Matthew 27, 1, we are to understand that the betrayal and the trials of Jesus continued throughout the night and into the next day. See, for example, Mark 14, verse 53 and following, through Mark 15, verse 1 and following, as well as Luke 22, verse 54 and following, and John 18, verse 19 and following. The words, "when morning came," are not to be understood as if what takes place here and in verses following was the beginning of the plotting by the chief priest and the elders. It was not at the beginning of Jesus' trials, but rather nearer the end of Jesus' trials. And it was only after they conferred in this context that Jesus was sent before Pontius Pilate. But if we read all of the related context in the gospel records, we will see that Jesus had already appeared before the priest, before the elders, and before the council. Jesus' appearance before the governor, Pontius Pilate, was the next stop in his series of trials. The bound Jesus was delivered to Pilate. Bauer notes that the term translated as bound means to confine a person or thing by various kinds of restraints, bind, tie. In this context, it was not a thing that was bound, but a person, the man Jesus. Thus, the term specifically meant of binding and imprisoning persons. Jesus' appearance before Pilate, the questions and answers, or answer between them, shows up later in the chapter. Matthew 27, verses 3 through 10, the remorse and the death of Judas Iscariot. In the same general time frame, Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, went back to the chief priest. This passage says that, quote, "seeing that he had been condemned," end of quote. The context might make us think that Judas, realizing that he, that is, Judas, was condemned. But that's not the intent. Judas, when he realized that he, meaning Jesus, had been condemned, was remorseful. This seems to indicate that Judas had not anticipated what his betrayal of Jesus would bring about. We know, as we have seen in our earlier studies, that the chief priest and the elders were glad that Judas told them where Jesus would be on this night. We also know that they, apparently, were quite willing to pay Judas 30 pieces of silver to relay this information. And, as noted earlier, there seems to be an indication that they were even willing to pay more. And Judas surely must have been aware that when he showed up with multitudes carrying swords and clubs, Matthew 26, 47, or weapons, John 18, 3, that his betrayal of Jesus could not have been something as innocent as simply saying, "There, he's the one." Jesus even remarked that it appeared that they came out against a robber, Matthew 27, verse 55. Hardly a benign event. At what point Judas recognized that what he had done was more than just locating and identifying Jesus, we do not know. nor do we know exactly what triggered his remorse. Verse 4 tells us his reasoning. But when he saw this, and why he did not see it before, again, we just do not know. Something else to think about. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 tells us that Judas was remorseful, or that he felt remorse, or that he was seized with remorse, or something similar. Other translations use the word repented, or changed his mind, or regret, or that he had deep regret, or deeply regretted. The problem, as we are about to explain it, lies with confusing what Judas experienced in this setting with biblical saving repentance. Yes, as we just mentioned, some translations, I counted at least 5, and there may be more, some translations render the word as repented. It's not, however, the same word that appears, for example, in Matthew 3:2 and Matthew 4:17, where John and Jesus respectively said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's not what Paul stated in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Without this kind of repentance, what's entailed in Matthew 3:2, Matthew 4:17, Acts 17:30, Acts 2:38, and other texts, there's no hope of eternal life. That's the thought brought out in Luke 13, verse 3. "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Verse 5 repeats the same truth. Bauer defines the term used in Matthew 27:3 as to have regrets about something, in the sense that one wishes it could be undone. Be very sorry, regret. While having this kind of feeling, this kind of sorrow and or regret can be good, as we shall see, it's not the same as the term repent used in the verses that we just referenced. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 27. These reminders as we conclude. To start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to IGH.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study by mail, call this toll-free number 1-855-IGH-6988. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.